Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Anybody see that horrible truck accident in Weathersfield yesterday?
Man. Mess.
It's on the Berlin Turnpike. Happened around 9:30 a.m. There was a truck with a boat pulling into a Cumberland Farms, hit by another truck carrying a backhoe. They said the fuel from the boat dumped out everywhere, exploded. Both trucks ended up exploding. There was fire everywhere. The power lines went up. The Cumberland's farm sign melted.
Jeez.
About 500 people out of fire, out of power. One person in one of the vehicles was ejected out into the street.
Oh.
One dead, two injured.
Damn.
The both lanes were closed forever. I mean, this was about as horrific as an accident as you can get.
More of a chain of events, man. Too. I mean, everything. A
chain of events. Here's some audio from Channel 3 yesterday.
The cleanup still expected to take days, but just an update from the last time that we saw you. In just the last few minutes, the southbound lanes have reopened. This is the first time since 9:30 this morning since this happened. The vehicles have been removed, but you can see the disaster it's left behind. This happened right in front of the Cumberland Farms. The sign melted. There's a lot of debris still littering the road. Drone 3 right now is live above the scene, giving us a look. And you can see even the road is scorched
here.
And
this is the aftermath. Is just burnt.
Yeah. When the asphalt's burnt, that's a bad accident.
Right. Yeah.
Even the road is scorched here, and this is the aftermath of this violent and fiery crash. The Weathersfield Police Department says this happened around 9:30 this morning as one tractor trailer struck another, and it appears one of them was towing a boat. The impact ignited the gallons of fuel that was being carried, and eyewitnesses say that sent a huge fireball right into the sky. The smoke and flames could be seen from miles away. State police say there are serious injuries here. The extent of those injuries and the number of people injured, that is not being released at this time. And at 5 o'clock, you heard eyewitnesses talk about the heroic efforts to pull at least two people to safety. And this
can you imagine?
Trying to jump in the middle of that?
Yeah.
No way.
That's brave.
My father used to be a truck driver. He drove for 27 years. And he came upon an accident, a guy in a truck, and the cab was on fire, and it was too late. Yeah. And he had nightmares till the day he died about listening to that guy scream.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Horrific.
Horrible.
Horrific. So, wow, those people who ran and pulled those people out.
Yep.
Those are heroes right there.
Big time.
Two people to safety, and this was all while this fire was just raging around them. We're here at Atlas Tile, about 75 yards away, and the owner describes the intensity of the flames even at this distance.
As soon as we walked out the door, you could feel the heat. It was unbelievable. And then the smoke, like I said, was 60, 70 feet in the air.
Wow.
And the scary thing is the telephone pole and the wires lit on fire. And then the next truck lit on fire.
And here's the thing you got to think about when you're watching this unfold. It's right in front of a gas station.
Yeah. Ugh. Could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's the thinking there? Well, this could be a big explosion.
Yep.
So first you hear the crash, and you know, if you've ever heard a car accident, just two cars hitting each other's, you know, enough to shake you.
It's loud enough, yes.
Imagine two trucks.
Yeah, that size.
Right. And then instant fire.
Yep.
Fuel dumping down the sewer. And then explosion, another explosion, 60-foot flames,
right,
and smoke and power lines catching fire, power out,
sign
debris
melting
everywhere.
Yeah.
Someone was ejected out into the street. Now you're pulling people from the truck, and then you're like, wow, there's a gas station right there. This could get really bad really fast.
Yep.
And then the next truck lit on fire. So it was pretty nervous.
And you can see the remnants now of that charred pole. DEEP says a significant amount of diesel fuel was lost, and that's going to create a pretty big environmental impact. So even now that the road has reopened here, DEEP is going to be out here for the next couple of days at least, cleaning all of that up. The cause of this crash, though, that is still under investigation. That is the latest live here in Weathersfield tonight. Matthew Campbell, Channel Therapist News.
Channel what?
Channel Therapist News.
David Fast.
Channel Therapist?
Channel Therapist News.
Channel Therapist News.
What's a Channel Therapist?
I'm a news director.
Channel Therapist
Hold
News?
On. Hey, Matt. We love you. You're the best.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. It's Channel 3 Eyewitness News. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one thing I want everyone to come away with. Okay. Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
Right. Channel Therapist News.
Jeez.
Sounds like Therapist News. Therapist Eyewitness.
Therapist News.
Therapy Eye News.
Right.
Channel Therapist News.
Channel Therapist News.
Yeah. Nice. Well, we need Therapist News. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Wow.
Therapist News. It's going to be okay. How do you feel about this news?
Channel Therapist News.
Channel Therapist News.
Relax for a little while.
Yeah. Yoga. That's going to be a channel at some point.
Do some yoga.
Yeah, that'll be $500.
Right. Here's a quote from somebody who, this is from Samuel Martinez. He saw the whole thing, sprang into action, risked his own life to pull the injured driver to safety before the explosion. When we picked him up, he was crying because he was in pain. He was in pain, but we couldn't leave him there. We had to do what we had to do. We had to take him because he was going to get burnt. He thought he was dying. We were talking to him, saying, no, you are going to be all right. The ambulance will be here soon. This is really crazy.
Yeah.
Movie
and,
stuff.
And Therapist News.
Yeah.
Telling you to be okay.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a scene right out of an action movie where you'd say, oh, this wouldn't happen.
Yep.
That eyewitness that talked about the telephone pole going up, they did a shot, and you could see that sheathing that they've got around the wires to protect it from the elements had just melted, and there are these drips that
were
coming
off. Icicles.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
Joe, you did the cleanup for the accident?
Yeah, JV's Reconstruction, we all did the cleanup. Mirabelli's was there, Lamore's Towing. And, yeah, it was a pretty horrific scene. It took us hours to get all that rubble and mess cleaned up.
And what were you cleaning? So you weren't cleaning up the diesel fuel. You were cleaning up the debris field?
Yeah, we were taking the trucks and the trailers and all that stuff to the state police yard so that they can further do their investigation.
I'm guessing all that was left was just a burnt char outside metal frame,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Even that has to be tough to see, right? Especially like if you see a little something.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a key thing, you know. Connecticut's got that slow down, move over law.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just don't enforce it. Nobody pays attention to it. And it's pretty sad because something like that, you know, is the outcome.
The end result, yeah.
Now, I know that, you know, it takes a professional accident reconstructionist to figure out what happened, but they're reporting that it was the trailer with the boat was pulling into the gas station, then the truck with the backhoe on the back hit it. Is that what it looked like happened to you?
No. There was a truck pulled over on the side of the road, and there was a mechanic under the trailer working on it. It had broke down, and the truck hauling the boat sideswiped the truck and landed in the gas station. That's the whole gist of the whole thing.
Wow.
Pretty much.
And where was the fatality? Was it the mechanic under the truck?
The mechanic under the truck.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Sad.
Oh, God. All right. Well,
the driver of I'll let you guys go, but yeah, it's pretty sad. And I just say to all the truck drivers, man, pay attention and, you know, just do your job.
Yeah.
You're driving a deadly weapon.
It's true.
Yeah, that goes to everybody who drives.
Yep.
Whether you're driving a Prius or an 18-wheeler, you can't be looking at the screen of your phone while you're driving down the road.
No.
So they were reporting, Joe, that someone was ejected from a vehicle. So that sounds like an early report. It sounds like
He jumped. He jumped out of the truck. He had two broken legs and like a broken arm or something. He jumped from the truck.
He broke his legs from jumping from the truck?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or the impact. I'm not quite sure.
Right. Okay. So I thought maybe they thought the mechanic that was under the truck was ejected and in one of the vehicles, but actually wasn't. So, All right, brother. Thanks for checking in, man. We appreciate it.
All right. You guys rock.
Yep. All right. You rock.
And be safe.
Crap. That's a tough one. And then last night, we have a plane crash into a house.
What was the house doing in the air?
It was not in the air.
Oh, and also the plane met the house.
Right. The plane went down and crashed into the house. It happened in Groton. Police say two people were on board the plane when it crashed. Both were brought to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
Cool. It's like Santa. Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
It's great. A good landing.
Yeah, I think that has roof. To be. We're going to come down in the road and, like, oops, we hit a house.
Right, and you put on Santa suits real quick.
We're just talking about that plane crash in Groton last night.
Yep.
Right into a house.
Yep, exactly.
Roger, Suzanne, and Channel 3 on. Hey, how are you?
Hey!
How's it going, guys? Sorry I got disconnected there momentarily. But, yeah, it is just a crazy situation. Neighbors here are basically saying, hey, 2020, what else you got? I mean, this is... insane.
Don't ask that because it keeps happening.
Roger, if you're standing next to someone and says 2020, what else you got? Take a couple steps away.
Yeah.
You're about to get hit by lightning or a tree.
My job. I go to a lot of these places. Maybe I got to change professions because, yeah, I feel like I've been saying that a lot lately. But, you know, I mean, you guys have seen the pictures. I mean, you have a wing sticking out of the roof of a home here in Groton. It's just insane. We can kind of laugh about it because, incredibly, no one was seriously injured. You had this small twin-engine plane just plowed directly into the roof of this house. There was one guy who was inside the house. I can't even imagine what went through his mind. He got out.
Roger, one second. Your mouthpiece seems a little bit like we're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, hold on a second. Can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Much better. Thank you.
So the guy in the house, where was he in the house in terms of where the plane came in?
So police didn't say for sure, but it's a ranch house. So the neighbor told me, he said, listen, I am pretty sure he would have been in his bedroom at that time because it was pretty late at night. And so he would have been kind of to the right of where the plane hit. And fortunately, again, it might be a good thing that it was a ranch. He was able to get out of the house immediately. And then the other crazy thing, I've been talking to pilots, is that there wasn't a fire. Normally when you see a plane crash like this, you see a huge fireball. There wasn't a fire for whatever reason. And then the two guys that were on the plane, they were able to pull themselves out of the plane and then get out of the house.
Wow.
And both of those guys are in the hospital now, but we're told they have non-life-threatening injuries, which, again, it's just incredible because you look at this wreckage and you'd think that somebody must have been seriously injured or killed.
I'm guessing Christmas lights on the roof, if that was a landing.
It is 2 miles away from the airport. So, I mean, I guess you could say it's relatively close. And obviously, you figure he was probably coming in for a landing and something went wrong.
Premature landing.
He'll figure that stuff out. It's just crazy.
The two guys in the plane, are they from Connecticut?
They have not released any information about the guys that were actually on board that plane. So we don't have any of that info yet. We should get that info later today. Like I said, NTSB investigators are going to be leading the investigation now. But really, the guys that deserve a lot of the credit are Groton police and firefighters. There are like 4 or 5 fire departments. They got here supposedly within minutes. I mean, neighbors tell me basically heard the crash. They walked outside, and there were already emergency responders showing up. And, the guys were able to get out of the house and the plane themselves quickly, but they rushed those two guys that were on the plane to the hospital, so they helped ensure that they didn't have worse injuries. So, you know, NTSB will take the investigation today and figure out what went wrong. But really, it's our local guys that were the heroes here.
Roger, Suzanne,
and made sure that everybody was okay.
Channel 3 is on at the site of a plane
crash one prop.
into the house in Groton. Do we know what time this happened? And did anybody talk to the owner of the house as he was coming out to go to the hospital?
So, no. And the owner actually is staying with his family members today. He has family in the air. He didn't even need to go to the hospital. It was the guys on the plane that needed to go to the hospital.
Well, my pants would need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, laundromat at least, yes.
Exactly. That would be my first priority as well. No one that I know has spoken with him, but apparently he's a longtime Groton resident. People who live here in the neighborhood tell me he's a great guy. He actually recently sadly lost his wife, but he's got family still in the area. And they said he's just an incredible guy. And they said he's the kind of guy that will probably laugh about this later, but I don't know if he's quite ready to laugh about it.
So, yeah, once he cleans himself, yes.
Yeah, it's totally. I mean, are you kidding? I would be like, I need 24 hours yet to clean myself off and kind of shake this thing off.
I have to think, even if you're and what time did this happen?
So it happened about 10 o'clock last night, 10 to 10:30.
So you might still be awake, like in bed, watching TV.
Getting sleepy.
And then from a distance here. Now, you live near an airport. You hear this all the time. You
a little loud today.
That sounds close.
Relatively close.
And then it's just.
Right.
Hello. Right. How you doing?
There's two guys on your mattress. One guy's holding a steering wheel. The other guy's going.
Oh, my God. Which, you know, there's a guy that lives across the street, and he told me, great guy named Artie Valdez, and he told me that he was watching the DNC convention. He says he fell asleep, and he heard this loud, what sounded like an explosion, and he said he woke up. He thought he was dreaming for a second. And then he ran outside, and he said, is this real? Is this real life right now with a airplane right. wing sticking out of the wing, the roof of my buddy's house? And then he said, like, again, within seconds, he's like, I couldn't believe it. These emergency responders show up and make sure everybody's okay. But it really is just surreal looking at it. It looks like the set of a disaster movie. It really does.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, we were watching it on Channel 3. That's just it's hard to believe. No one was seriously injured, let alone dead.
Right, exactly, right? Yeah. Now, if it got caught in a tree, just throw a shoe at it, make it fall out of the tree.
Right.
I've seen, fender bender car accidents where you see people that are seriously injured, and then you look at this, a tree slams into a guy, or excuse me, a plane slams into a guy's roof, and nobody is seriously injured. I mean, that's... Someone's looking out for those guys in that plane and the guy in the house, for that matter, especially the guy in the house didn't even have a scratch on him, apparently.
Man.
It's plain sight, yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
You got to find the pilot and ask him if he'll fly again.
Well, I'm hoping he's able to fly again. I just don't want him coming around my neighborhood.
Work on the landing part.
Yeah, that part first. Work on that a couple of times. He'll go back up, yes.
All right, Roger. Thanks
he's
for coming
flying,
on.
Flying, just not the landing. That's right. Right.
Amazing story. And nice job, Roger, Suzanne, and Channel 3. Thank you, brother. This stuff is fascinating. Let's talk about the megacolon.
The megacolon?
Ann Doty with the Mutter Museum is on the phone. We're linked up to it on the radio station website. What is the megacolon?
Hi.
Hey.
The megacolon is, and I always have to preface this by saying, to my knowledge, this is the largest human colon on display in the world.
Really?
Why do you have to say to my knowledge? When you say it is, do people say, oh, no.
Oh, no. Well,
my neighbor's got one way bigger than that.
Yeah, my Aunt Frances.
Yeah.
Her colon is huge. You park a bus in there.
Actually, yes. And then I kind of give the statistics and I say, well, it's 8 feet, 4 inches long, and it's about 1.5 feet at the widest diameter. And the time of death, it had about 40 pounds of fecal material in it.
Oh. 40 pounds?
Is that what killed it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a swing that would be.
It's full of it, huh?
Imagine
exactly.
I lost two pounds. I had a colonoscopy last week.
Yeah.
And, I've been watching my weight. Friday's always my lowest weigh-in day
because
I'm
ramp over the weekend.
Clean all week.
Right.
And cleanse, I lost 2 pounds of poop.
Wow.
And I was 172. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's imagine a 40-pound swing.
Yeah. That's a lot of toilet paper.
How big was this person?
Well, I wish I could show you the pictures. He was actually extraordinarily skinny. So he looked, his abdomen was just obviously extremely distended, but his arms and legs were, emaciated because he knew that every time he was going to eat something, he was going to be in a world of hurt because he was
like E.T.
He was so constipated because what he had was something called congenital aganglionic megacolon or Hirschsprung's disease. And so, the megacolon. But this is not just mere constipation. So this is a congenital defect where you basically have 30-odd feet of innervated guts going from your mouth to your anus. It's called your alimentary canal.
That's
imagine, every single bit of that should be properly innervated. It should have nerves. And those nerves cause contractions called peristalsis. And the whole point of that is to move everything basically north to south to its natural conclusion,
yes.
Right?
And it's like a car. It's like a hot car ring. They strip it before.
Yes.
Right? So it goes through the garage, but they take all the parts off it. Then they, you know, whatever they're not going to use. They let it go.
Right.
You've lost me on that mechanic analogy, but sure. I mean, yeah. The whole point of the tube is to get the food through, to grind it up, to digest it, to distribute the nutrients. And
then take out what it wants.
Whatever's left over.
Mm-hmm. Right to the garage.
Everything that's left over goes out, right?
Yep, exactly.
But...
literally.
So, bad question. But when you have Hirschsprung's disease, the nerves fail to fully form in parts of the colon. And so what that means is, you know, a traffic jam in that garage, so to speak. So I always like to say, it's, you know, to be clear, it's not just mere constipation. It's a physical inability to have a proper bowel movement.
Oh, and what did you do?
When did this person die?
So he died in the late 18 he died in 1892, and he was 29 years old. And according to his mother, he started exhibiting symptoms at 18 months of age.
Yeah, when you pass when and move a Conestoga wagon, can't let you know.
Wow. Yeah, so I mean, can you imagine his entire life he was constipated. And so he did try to go to the hospital. You know, he did obviously knew something was wrong, but there was nothing they could do at the time. So,
what did they know back then, really?
Right,
I'm surprised they were able. Did they diagnose them then, or was it years later they figured it out?
They basically said that at the time when he was alive, you know, they said, well, you're constipated, and, you know, that's not all we can. They really couldn't do anything, and they just discharged him, and that was that. You know, enemas wouldn't work. Laxatives really wouldn't
sauerkraut work.
Nope. Yeah, unfortunately, what happens is the colon is just... Yeah, your colon's the two main jobs of your colon is to hold the fecal material and then to draw out the water. So it's one of those catch-22s where the longer the material stays in there, the drier and more hard and the more impacted it becomes, and then the harder it is to
like bricks, yeah,
poop
it's
out.
Like a rock,
yeah,
exactly right.
Like I've had those poops. I don't know why it happened, but they're like
you go funk.
You could break a window. Like break a window.
You
could. Don't think I haven't.
You know
what's wrong with you, Ashley?
Dehydration.
What, you've never had rock hard poop? Never, never in your life.
Of course you have,
Ashley.
Sure.
You act like you have it now.
I only poop rainbows.
Right.
Yeah.
Trust me, flowers and magic
dust. Glitter.
Yeah,
right.
You eat marshmallow peeps all the time.
So he would get constipated for how long?
Forever. I mean, from the time he was 18 months old until he passed away, he was in a constant state of impaction, you know, beyond... Again,
wait,
beyond
never pooped his whole life?
Always looked very distinguished. Like,
no, he could... He pooped. I mean, I think about from the time he was a teenager, I think they said he recorded something around one bowel movement per month.
Oh, damn.
Oh,
I get cramped up.
They told us all the time.
I have to go once a day.
Me a couple of times.
I mean, you're twice. Imagine that feeling, you know. We've all been constipated. I mean, you know, rainbows or not, we've all been constipated, and we know that horrible feeling.
Yes.
And just imagine that. But that's also why, you know, he also wasn't eating properly because, again, he knew something was wrong. And so he knew when he ate that it would cause cramping and all sorts of abdominal pain. It was, I should also mention that, you know, this is actually one of the more common congenital abnormalities that occur even today. We're talking about 1 in 5,000 to 1 in 8,000 live births today in the world will have some degree of severity of this Hirschsprung's disease.
That's weird.
Like Hirschsprung's disease,
big,
yes.
The big, yeah. The interesting thing is today, it's very treatable because it's congenital. It's not curable, but it's very treatable. And I've been at the museum for about 16 years now, and I've met 5 people who have come up to me after tours and have kind of taken me aside and said, I had that.
It's politicians, right?
That. just regular people. And you know, they're like, and what happens now is, I don't know if any of you have kids or have had kids born in a hospital, but When my child was born, they will not let you leave the hospital with your baby until they've had their first bowel movement.
So it's a squeeze the kid, right?
So, again, it's done. So common. It's right. Yeah. Huh. So babies are now diagnosed with sometimes within days of birth, and they can be treated with something called a bowel end-to-end anastomosis. I apologize to any gastroenterologists out there.
Or Activia, surgeons, if that works too.
Yeah. No, see, again, it won't work. Because it's a physical thing. They're going to have to literally physically take out those pieces of bowel that are not properly innovated, because that's where the log jam's going to happen, and that colon has to go. It has to be removed, or it'll cause problems.
I'm glad we didn't do this segment before I went for the colonoscopy.
Right.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong.
Orders pets to be confiscated.
Oh.
What?
Oh, you crossed the line now, buddy.
Yep, that's it.
North Korean dictator.
Huge dictator.
And by the way, dictator sounds like some kind of potato thing.
Yeah, like a snack food.
Right.
Try a new dictator.
Would you like some dictators?
With sour cream?
Oh, crunchy.
Ooh, I like with cheddar cheese and bacon.
Has ordered pet dogs to be confiscated in the country's capital.
Stop it.
Saying the pooches represent Western decadence.
Uh-huh.
But their owners fear that the dogs are really headed to someone's dinner table.
Oh.
Oh my God. I'm so upset.
What's some high-pitched tone I can't hear.
Seriously, I saw a bird.
There are dogs gathering outside the studio now with their heads tilted.
I just
saw a bird explode outside. Boom. That window's compromised.
Yeah, they're not really eating well over there in North Korea.
No.
Must be looking around. Well, we don't have any cows left.
How about Kim Jong-un?
How about the chickens? Chicken's gone.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un would be a couple of meals right there.
Try some grass.
They're looking at him, and they're like, he's been eating well.
Yeah, but eating vegetation.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, yeah, we're all suffering together.
Yeah, look at you.
I'm so the dictator. Upset. I get the taters.
Has anyone ever had any dog?
Oof, that is salty.
Never. Wouldn't even think of it.
I mean, I've had a hot dog.
Yeah, hot dogs, yes, right. Corn dog.
Yep.
Would you try dog if you had...
Nope.
No, no.
Hold on.
No.
Didn't even hear
I don't care.
The scenario.
The answer is no.
Right. If you're in a plane crash, the dog already died. Everyone in the plane crash died. And you're on some mountaintop. Not even goats can make it up to this mountaintop. Birds are like, it's too high for me. And, there's this dog that you never met. It was just a dog on a plane. But there it is.
First class?
Freshly dead, right? Let's just say it lived for a couple of days and then it died. But you didn't know it was alive. You didn't bond with it. You weren't trying to nurture it back.
You already exhausted your plane peanuts.
Lightning strikes the dog and lights it on fire. And now you're sitting there really hungry and you're like, that actually smells good. Would you eat it?
No, you bury it respectfully and start your trek down the mountain.
You'd be what? What did you just say?
You bury it respectfully.
Not a hard answer.
And make your trek down
your the legs mountain. Are broken. You can't make it down the mountain.
I'll make a sled.
You're going to starve to death.
You're going to make a sled out of the dog?
There's some dog trees sled. Somebody can chop down. Dog I'm sled. Tying yeah. stuff together.
It's a dog sled.
Sled
yeah.
down.
Yeah. So you would not, under any circumstances, eat a dog?
Nope.
Has anyone listening?
Stop it.
Ever tried dog meat?
Not knowingly.
No.
Why, you did?
Well, there are people who have served in the military or have lived in other places around the world where you can eat dog legally.
It's more common.
Nope.
I spent a week in China. We were coming down a mountain. We were hiking. And, like, you're starving. Like, there's just...
Bring snacks.
I'm going to eat anything. Oh, you bring what you can, but, you know, you're hiking for days. You get tired, you eat everything.
Huh? Too bad.
So they had a little guy that was, like, cooking stuff up on the side. I have no idea what it was.
Is that Lassie?
I ate meat on a stick, and I was like, we're moving on.
Oof,
I have no idea
salty.
What it was.
Now, oof, that is salty.
Did you go to the bathroom by yourself? Someone walk you?
You're looking. Look through that glass. Look at him.
That's the face
you're
of
a man. You're looking at someone, that's the face of a man who ate a dog.
Possibly. I don't know. I can't honestly say I didn't.
When you walk past the pole, did your leg go up?
What did you just throw at the window?
Paper towel.
When you walk past
did you light your shoulder? Jesus.
You are
of shape.
You feel the need like...
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, I had poodle, but it made me a little jumpy.
Ayo.
That's good.
That's a joke, yes.
All right.
Oof, that is salty.
Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Chaz and AJ, come in.
Who's the phone caller? Who's the phone caller?
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, it's Beef.
Oh, no.
Goodbye. I actually should have taken this one from him because he's traveled all over the world doing IT.
This is true. Yeah, he's eating everything.
It's how many times can you hear from Beefman in one day?
Well, so far
he does IT, but his name is Beefman?
Yes.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
What do you think? So Beef?
Chaz and AJ.
Hello, person.
This has become more annoying than a poodle.
Myself. Yeah.
Chaz and AJ.
We have the guy's name in the background.
What?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to know when he walks by a fire hydrant, does his leg lift up?
See, I was trying to make that joke before, but he's talking.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man.
I'm going, and she throws a freaking napkin. I'm like, really?
I'm sorry, I'm not a violent person, but I have this, like, pit in my stomach that makes me feel very violent.
Yes.
It's all about AJ.
That joke was okay, but her freaking out and throwing stuff at Phil, way better.
Right. That paper towel, boy, I think really busted the window, didn't it?
Wait, did I just hear a bark? Is there a dog on the phone right now?
Hello?
Chuck and Aunt Sonia.
Hello, yes. My friend tricked me into it in South Korea while serving.
Really?
Well, he was serving, too.
Yeah. And in the Philippines, we were going to a guy's house. He happened to be the tattoo artist from Officer and Gentleman, Don David.
Oh, wow.
And he asked everybody what they wanted to eat. Some guy jokingly said dog. So when we got there, there was about four or five puppies out in the yard.
Okay.
The guys were playing with them. About an hour later.
Leave your headphones on.
I can't.
Put your headphones on.
You're going to make me cry. I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. All right. Then don't listen.
Yeah. He was just joking, though. He grabbed the puppy same time to cook. And everybody said, no. Here's some money. Go buy other food.
I was just kidding. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Right. No dog was eaten in his story.
He was just kidding.
Yeah. No dog was eaten.
He was just kidding.
All right, Chuck. Thank you.
All right. I couldn't do it.
Is that Ground Chucker?
Boston John.
Hello, Boston John.
Is it me or is this the worst phone segment ever?
This is the delay in his head, yes.
And everyone keeps trying to call in the same joke, and I'm trying to screen them all out. I've had dog before. The only thing I could say is it tastes a little rough.
Ha!
Thank you. Thank you.
That is
heard that seven times already.
Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Just kill me.
Right.
Really?
It's a request liner.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.